Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim chiroo. We've got a podcast for all of you. Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim chiree. This is gonna be fun for you and me. What?
What the hell was that?
I don't know. I'm in a singing mood, I guess.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right, and we bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Nope, you surely don't. We could go off on a tangent if we want to.
Yeah.
We can talk about drama. We can talk about comedy, horror.
Why are you talking like Jerry Seinfeld?
What is the deal with these mushrooms?
Jerry, I don't know. Why do you gotta take so many mushrooms before the show?
Well, George, to me, this sounds like a little...
You changed to Kramer.
Yeah, I did. I went to Kramer.
Kramer, what are you doing here?
Jerry, can I borrow your sausage maker?
I'm not Jerry, I'm George!
George, I need to borrow your sausage maker.
Why do I have a sausage maker?
Because
what's the deal with the sausage?
Sausage!
Yeah, see, why don't your dad walks into the room.
You say...
Sausage!
You say that we like sausage, but you're always the one bringing up the sausage, Rich.
Yeah, well, after getting that hilarious clip from your dad, I mean, I have to.
Sausage!
Alright, so there you go. There's an example. A random Seinfeld bit.
We're always willing to provide our listeners with examples of how weird we are.
Yeah.
So. There's so many of them.
I didn't even realize I was doing Jerry Seinfeld there.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what made you do it. You're like, we talk about drama and comedy. And I'm like, what is he doing? But that's part of the beauty of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I must have been watching too much Seinfeld over the week.
There's never a thing as too much Seinfeld, Rich.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right. So speaking of, you know, things that we do in the week since we were on the air, we like to kick off the show with a recap of what we have been doing in the week since we've been on the air. So, Mike, what have you been up to in the week since we last did the show?
Well, this past week was my mom's birthday. So,
woo!
Yeah, we celebrated her birthday. Very happy birthday to my mom.
I didn't know that. When was that?
It was the 16th.
Ah, there
yeah,
you go.
So, earlier in the week.
So, I guess we should do a happy birthday to your mom.
Yeah, let's do it.
Happy birthday to you.
Mom.
Happy birthday to you.
To you.
Woo! Yeah, there you go. I didn't know it was your mom's birthday.
Yeah, she turned 38. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
No, I'm kidding. No, yeah, we had a nice little, just a small family thing. Had some cakes. You know, she opened up some cards. It was nice.
So, you know what? She also gets a, she should get a sausage shout out.
Sausages!
So you see, it was appropriate that you were talking about sausages.
Yeah. So, yeah, we gotta give her the sausage shout out for her birthday.
Sausages!
Oh, yeah, that is a staple here at the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We will give you a sausage shout out.
Yep.
For just about anything. also this week, last week I talked about The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt during This Week in Entertainment.
Yeah.
And I checked
Netflix?
That. Yeah, I checked that out on Netflix. And, oh my gosh, it's so funny. Tina Fey, I think, has struck gold again with this concept. I highly recommend it. It's very, very funny, very quirky. And the main character, whose name I can't remember now, but
it's crazy because I binge watched a ton of episodes, but she...
It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember her name. But the point is that she's just so excitable, and so her upbeat attitude is like infectious, and it just makes everything really fun and enjoyable and lighthearted. So I really recommend you guys go check it out if you want something just bright and cheery and fun.
All right, so there you go. Mike providing his reviews.
Yeah, 8.5 out of 10.
Ooh,
I'd say.
So yeah, you probably won't be disappointed then.
No, won't. No, you won't be. That's what I've been doing. Rich, what have you been up to?
In the week since we were last on the show, I don't know. I guess I haven't really been doing. I haven't been doing too much, though. I guess the biggest thing since the week we were on the show would be, it was St. Paddy's Day.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. You know, got to celebrate St. Paddy's Day. Wore a little bit of green, to work.
And, yeah.
And then going out and about at night.
You became Irish for that one day, right?
Right. Yeah. It's a day everyone's a little Irish. You know, you go to the
Except
bar.
Except me. I forgot that it was St. Paddy's Day until I like show up to work. I'm like, why is everyone wearing green today? And then I realized.
Did anybody pinch you?
No. Why? Are you supposed to get pinched?
Yeah, if you don't wear green, you're supposed to get pinched.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well. I've been told my eyes are sometimes colored green, so that counts.
Or the leprechaun will leave a turd in your bed.
Okay. So I've never heard of that. Never heard of that folktale, Rich. Please regale us with this story. What happens? Right. Is this like the Irish version of the Tooth Fairy?
Yeah, right.
All they had was potatoes, so they couldn't afford to leave coins, so...
They leave little turds. Little turds, if you don't have green on... Maybe a potato if you do have green on. And that's your dinner.
That's your, what, the turd or the potato?
No, the potato is your dinner.
Oh, okay.
For wearing green.
Oh, okay. Okay. So wait, if you don't wear green, you get crap in your bed and no dinner.
Right.
Oh my God.
Because you're supposed to represent the Irish.
Okay. Well, I'll have to remember that for next year.
There you go. That's a history lesson that I've just made up.
That is, no, you didn't make it up. I verified it on Wikipedia. It's true.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Went out on St. Paddy's night, if you will.
Okay.
Went to local bar and had a couple drinks.
Nice.
You know, and it's a nice change of pace to do it in the middle of the week, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a little awkward. I think last year it was on a Monday, so I think a lot of people didn't go out on St. Paddy's Day last year.
Well, Mondays are just awful in general.
Yeah, it's tough to get anything going for that. But, it was a lot of fun. I didn't get, like, wasted or anything, but, you know,
a couple because everybody's got work in the morning, you know. Yeah.
You can't really use the excuse, I'm sick.
Yeah. I'm sick, boss. Trust me, it's for reals.
Yeah, for reals.
For reals. Don't use for reals if you're trying to trick your employers. Don't try and trick your employers at all.
Yeah. How about we just go with that?
Yeah.
Unless you want to get fired from your job.
Which, you know, may be fun, but may not be. Anyway, so that's what you were doing on St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah.
Did you have any Irish potatoes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, you know, you go to the bar, they have, like, the Irish specials and, you know, so. I went to Duffer's and, oh, my gosh, they were, like, almost sold out of like, all of their Irish specials.
Yeah.
I guess everybody was trying.
There's no corned beef and cabbage or whatever they eat.
They did, but it was sold out.
Did you get corned beef and cabbage? I've never had corned beef and cabbage, actually.
Never?
No, never. I've had corned beef, but never corned beef and cabbage.
Boy, you are Italian through and through, man. You won't budge in.
I was raised on, like, lasagna and pasta for every major holiday, so.
St. Paddy's Day, have lasagna. What?
Basically.
You know what's funny? I gotta mention this, right?
Okay.
So I went out Tuesday night. That was St. Paddy's Day, right?
Yeah.
When we record this show, we recorded the show this week on Wednesday, which is very rare because it's right up to the day that we publish the show. Usually it's not enough time, but given the circumstances of this crazy week, we're recording it on a Wednesday night. And as I'm on my way out, my mom... She yelled at me, "Be careful!" And I'm thinking she's still thinking it's St. Paddy's Day. So I turn to her and I say, "Don't worry, that was St. Paddy's Day. That was yesterday."
Yeah.
And she goes, "It's St. Joseph's Day."
What?
And I'm like,
"St. Joseph's Day?"
Yeah. I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She says, everyone knows the day after St. Patrick's Day, it's St. Joseph's Day.
No, nobody knows that. I'm sorry.
And I'm like, what is this? Does it mean another night of drinking? And
she's what is St. Joseph's Day?
I have no idea, but apparently.
Well, we should celebrate.
Yeah, apparently we're supposed to get drunk tonight too, in addition to last night.
Just stay drunk all week long.
Yeah, it's St. Patty's week.
St. Patty's week, there you go. That's so strange. What was her reasoning behind the St. Joseph's thing?
I guess,
be careful, it's St. Joseph's Day.
I guess that's the Italian version of St. Patrick. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I have no idea. But she said, be careful.
I guess a lot of crazy Italians are out and about.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So,
that is just too funny.
No idea.
Your mom is hilarious, Rich.
Yeah, so
we've had my dad on the show. We should have your mom on the show.
Yeah, maybe we have to call her up or something.
Yeah. ask her to tell us the history of St. Joseph's Day.
Yeah, what the hell is this St. Joseph's Day?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, anyway, so there you go. That's been the weekend review, I guess.
That was a really intense intro.
Yeah.
Oh, so now that that's out of the way.
Yeah.
Why don't we dive into our regularly scheduled programming?
Yeah, let's get to the news headlines that we have planned for you. And to begin, we start off with the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yep, sports coming at you in your face.
Oh, boy. And you know, this first topic has definitely been in everyone's face recently. I mean, you can't take one step without hearing something about it.
Nope. It's March, therefore it's madness. March Madness!
This is madness!
Madness.
This is Sparta!
Oh,
God,
yeah.
So angry.
Yeah.
It's March Madness, right?
March Madness.
It's when you get really mad during the month of March.
Yes, a great analysis from the great Michael Costanza right there.
Well, that is what March Madness is, isn't
yes,
it?
It's, yeah, sure.
It's like a psychological thing, right?
Well,
mass hysteria?
Yes, mass hysteria.
Actually, that is a way you could consider it mass hysteria.
Yeah, well,
it's sweeping the nation.
With all the attention that is devoted to college basketball during this time, you are right. But I wouldn't say it's mass hysteria.
Okay.
It's not cats and dogs living together.
That would just be too crazy, Rich.
Yeah. But nevertheless, time for March Madness. This is one of my favorite times of the year. The brackets are out and about. If you're listening to this podcast, I hope you have yours in because probably by the time you, are listening to it, the games have already started. So I hope you have your brackets in.
Have you filled out a bracket, Rich?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm on this. I'm ready to go.
Oh, man.
I'm excited.
You're like prepared and everything.
Oh yeah. Ever since Selection Sunday occurs, when they announce the teams that are in and out of the tournament, it's just game on. I love it. And to me, I don't understand why they don't do a similar format with college football.
Yeah, I mean, that is one of the big problems with college football is no, like, real playoff structure.
I mean, they tried to do one this year, but it was only four teams. You know, that's not really.
What's four teams
going to do? That's not madness.
No.
This is madness!
Madness.
This is Sparta!
Yeah, it's like slight irritation.
You want madness, try 68 teams, all right?
Yeah,
there you go.
Now, yeah, 68 teams, that is madness.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the madness.
The first four is what they call the playing games nowadays.
Right. Yeah, that's a recent addition, isn't it?
Yeah. They've already been played, and that narrows the field of 68 down to 64 teams. And then from there, it's balls to the wall, college basketball every week until we get to the national championship game. And we crown a winner. The big story going into this year's March Madness has to be Kentucky. They are undefeated right now. They just breezed through the season. Won their conference tournament, and now they start as the overall number one seed in this NCAA March Madness tournament.
and are looking to be the first team since, I believe, the late 70s to finish as an undefeated team with the national championship.
Really? It hasn't happened since?
Yep.
You said the late 70s?
Yep. Actually,
wow.
Yeah. Actually, it's a bad sign.
So should bracketologists, should they be worried about this? Should they?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Because the last four teams that have entered the NCAA tournament with a perfect record didn't win the championship.
Well, I mean.
As a matter of fact, Wichita State a couple years ago were undefeated and they lost in the Sweet 16 round.
Wow.
You know, it's a question of momentum, you know?
That's true. You know, speaking of momentum, when you're undefeated, it means you're playing at a really high level for the entire season. And it's just hard to keep that up, both physically, mentally.
Right. And in a tournament like this,
yeah,
the obstacles just keep getting tougher and tougher.
Right, right.
Like right now, the easiest opponent that Kentucky's going to face is going to be this weekend versus a 16 seed. It's going to get worse two weeks from now. When they could be possibly matching up with teams like Villanova, Duke, Gonzaga.
Yeah, I just looked it up. You know, they're 34-0, you know, and they face, you know, a pretty easy 16 seed. But, you know, then it's 35-0, then it's 36-0, and it just keeps getting tougher and tougher to keep going.
Yeah, and the bottom line is when you're undefeated going into the tournament, anything short of the national championship is a disappointment. You know?
Yeah,
it really
is. It's like
the
Patriots going, you know, 19-1,
right?
What was it that year? Was it 18-1? I don't remember.
I think it was 18-1.
18-1, yeah.
Yep.
So you think Kentucky is going to be like what, 36-1?
They could. You know, it's tough. But
yeah.
I got to admit, they are just playing at such a high caliber right now. It's going to be tough for anybody to stop them, even when they do reach the latter stages of the tournament. So you know what? How about I give you my final four? How about
that? Okay. Yeah.
All right, I'm probably going to list these. We're going to publish the podcast on Thursday.
And they're all going to lose.
Yeah, and two of them is going to be knocked out by the weekend. But you know what? That's the nature of this. That's what makes March Madness so much fun, because you never know.
Any game just
isn't a given. It's just not. Single, sudden death elimination, nothing is a given, and that's why we love March Madness.
This is madness!
Madness.
This is Sparta!
All right, so.
So, yeah, you're the March Madness expert. You give us your expert analysis.
All right, so first off, my final four picks.
Okay.
All right, I got to go with Kentucky. I think they're built to make it at least to the final four.
Right.
So Kentucky will be in. Another one seed, and I might be a little bit of a homer for doing it. Yeah,
Nova.
I'm going with Villanova.
You got to. They're hot right now.
They are. Their bracket is definitely tough, though. If they better not think they're going to have an easy path, because I'd say out of the four main brackets, that East division is pretty tough. If they just walk in thinking they're just going to steamroll their next opponent, they're gonna be susceptible.
Mm.
So
they'll have to stay focused.
Right, stay focused. Don't accept any givens.
So two number ones already in the
right.
Final four.
So
come
little,
on.
Little, so, yeah, a little chalk heavy, I know.
Give us a surprise. Give us like a 10 seed. Come on, Rich.
All right. Well, first off, my final four, yeah. I got Kentucky, Villanova. I've also got Arizona, a number two seed.
Okay.
Yep. I'm
still
looking
playing
forward
it
to
safe, Rich.
Yeah,
come
I
on.
Am. And my last final four pick is Gonzaga. And
okay.
I think Gonzaga is going to beat Duke, and I think it's going to shock
Ooh.
A couple people. I like that offense. Gonzaga has a high-powered offense. I think they could burst their way into the Final Four.
Interesting.
Now, I do have a little bit of a favorite, a personal favorite of mine, right in this
okay.
tournament.
Okay,
I am rooting for Wofford College. I think
Wofford.
Yeah, I think they're a 13 seed or okay. something. Like they're a 13 or 14.
I've never heard.
Yes.
Never heard of this college.
Yep. They are in this tournament, and their little pod that they're in is actually relatively weak. I think they can actually do it, too.
Wow.
So
okay.
If you're looking.
So they're going to the Final Four is what you're saying.
I tell you what. I think they survived the first weekend. I have them in my Sweet 16. I think they survived the first weekend.
Okay, so look out for, what was it, Wofford?
Wofford, here we go. Kind of sounds like Whopper, you know?
Whopper, yeah.
Whopper University.
They got to bring in some of the sponsorship deals, you know?
Yeah, where's Burger King on this?
Wofford College, brought to you by Whoppers.
Yeah, there you go.
Burger King Whopper, yeah.
Partner, why, we're bringing people together. Why can't we establish this for Wofford University?
We're bringing people together.
Yes.
What do you mean we're bringing people together? With what, Whoppers?
Yes.
Or basketball?
Both.
Eat your Whopper at Wofford while watching women's basketball. I had to find another W.
Well, anyway.
Anyway.
If you're looking for a double-digit underdog, I'm saying Wofford.
Okay.
And by the way, yeah, if you didn't include one, I'd say fix it right now if you can. Probably you can't, but
yeah, I think everybody's brackets are probably locked in.
But it always helps to put one double digit team in your Sweet 16, because I think the stat was 8 out of the last 9 times a double digit seeded team has made it to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I mean that, and that's the thing that I think a lot of people enjoy about this is there's always a good upset.
There's always a Cinderella.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's just fun to see these underdogs go up against the big guys and, you know, like these 15 and 16 seeds, you know, always holding out hope. Maybe, just maybe, they'll get one over on the big guys. It doesn't usually happen, but
yeah, well,
it's always fun to look out for it.
With the 16 seed, it's never happened.
Never?
No, aww. 16 seed has never won.
This year it's going to happen. They're going to take down Kentucky.
Right in the first game.
Calling right now. Hampton. I have the bracket here. I've done my research. It's going to take down.
Who's Wofford facing again? I forget now.
Wofford is. I was just looking at it. Hold on, give me a sec to find them.
Because I'm rooting for them.
Wofford is taking on the number 5 seed Arkansas.
Yeah.
Wofford is a 12.
I think they could do it.
It's possible.
I'm rooting.
It's possible.
Wofford, don't let me down.
Also, Harvard is in the tournament. Are they usually in?
Well, they have to let in one Ivy League team.
They have to. They're forced at gunpoint. You have to do it.
Well, kind of.
Yeah.
Not at gunpoint, but they have to.
Oh, not at gunpoint? Oh, that takes away a lot of the fun then.
All right, yes, they're forced at gunpoint.
Yay!
And that's what makes it March Madness.
This is madness!
Madness.
This is Sparta!
All right, so there you go. That's my little tidbit on March Madness. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait for all the games to start. I also love the onslaught of games that just happen.
Well, they got to cram so many games into such a short span of time, you
right?
Know?
So, like Thursday and Friday, it's great because like you're at work, you'll be at work or school or class or something, and you'll be hearing like, you know, what Wofford knocked off Arkansas or something, or Ole Miss knocked off, you know, something. You'll hear that crazy, you know, underdog knocking off.
Yeah.
Team.
I mean, I'm looking at the schedule here, and they've got a game like every 2 hours.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just 2 days straight, basically.
So there you go. I'm looking forward to March Madness, and we'll give you updates as to how well Kentucky does, and how well Villanova does,
and how well Wofford does,
and how well Wofford does. Yeah,
I think Wofford should be the Crispy Noodle team. I think that's the team we have to follow.
Yeah,
if they go out in the first round, I'm going to be so we'll have to pick a new team.
Yeah, right.
Can't be Villanova. That's the obvious choice. We have to pick like a really like nobody knows this place team.
Well, that's why I'm going with Wofford.
Go Wofford.
Woo!
What are they? Well, I want to know what their team name is. Is it like the Wofford Waffles? I hope it's the Wofford Waffles.
It's a big waffle.
I really just a dopey looking waffle with like a big glob of butter as its head. Why? Well, I don't know why it's making that noise. Hey, guys. I'm the Wofford Waffle. Let's have some Belgian waffles while we play basketball. I don't know. It's really late while we're recording this. Oh, my gosh. You started it. You started with the goofy music. We've lost Rich.
Yeah. Here we go, guys.
All right. So that's my official NCAA March Madness analysis. Rich gives you the Final Four. I bring you the Wofford Waffle.
Perfect.
And that's how we work here on the podcast. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Well, I know that must have tortured you to talk about basketball first. So.
It was entertaining. I created a new character. So
yes, the Wofford Waffle.
Yeah.
Hey, Rich, let's move on to the next topic.
I'm going to do every transition like that tonight.
Thanks, Wofford.
Yup.
Does the mascot have a name besides Waffle?
No, Wofford Waffle.
Waffle?
Yeah. What do you want from him? He's a simple guy.
All right. Well, Mr. Waffle, tell us what's up with the world of football.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitch and fucking football.
Well, first, no. I can't do the whole episode like that. In the world of football, we have more free agency news with the Philadelphia Eagles, Rich. I can't believe this happened. You know, we talked about it last week, all the moves the Eagles were making and all the moves they could make. And then they shock everyone by going out and making the biggest move of free agency after we put out the episode.
Yeah.
So,
of course it was going to happen.
Of course. You knew it was going to happen because free agency is so fluid and it's always changing. But the big news, of course, is that the Eagles land the free agency grand prize in Dallas running back DeMarco Murray. I cannot believe that happened.
It was
such a shock. Like, we knew that there were rumors, but then to actually see it come through, and we were texting back and forth the whole day.
Yeah.
You know, trying to figure out what's going on. We knew he was coming to Philly for a visit.
And it was even weirder because the first piece of news that broke was that we were signing Ryan Matthews, another running back.
Yep.
And he was the starter for the Chargers last year.
Yeah. Well, he had injury problems like all of our free agent picks.
He did. But it was still weird to hear that we had signed a previous starter running back.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden hear that, oh, we're still in talks for DeMarco Murray. And it was like, oh, really? We thought we were only going to get one of the two.
Yeah. And, you know, apparently this goes back into Chip Kelly's, you know, whole philosophy where he wants to focus on the run game. He wants to focus on that downhill running, and he wants to have a lot of weapons. He doesn't want to have just one guy. He wants to split the load and spread the ball around, all, you know, all that good stuff. And, you know, DeMarco Murray is that great downhill type runner. The only issue, of course, is that he had 400 carries last year.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a lot of wear and tear. I think that's one of the reasons why we also kept around Ryan Matthews. Because now we have two potential starters in addition to Darren Sproles and Chris Polk. So we have a loaded backfield. I think we're going to see all four of them at times throughout the year.
Yeah, Chip Kelly talked about this at one of the press conferences. He's how many carries did DeMarco Murray have?
He had about 400.
400. Somebody asked Chip Kelly, you know, can DeMarco Murray survive another 400 carries?
Right.
And Chip Kelly said, if we do our system right, we should have 400 carries between our running backs, not just DeMarco Murray.
Right, exactly. And that's what the Eagles want to do. That's what you saw them do a little bit last year when McCoy was suffering, not suffering, but struggling. You know, Darren Sproles and Chris Polk came in. You know, it's all about spreading around the football. That's why I think the Eagles felt comfortable in getting rid of some of their offensive weapons, because they view the offense as something where they can plug in anybody and those players can succeed. And, you know, that remains to be seen. We'll see if that holds up throughout the year. But one of the things I think is interesting with free agency is that a lot of people are saying that we, you know, when the McCoy trade happened, it was a huge shock. But then people realized it might not be so bad. And now when people really start breaking it down, they're talking about the value we got for McCoy. We got a linebacker. We got DeMarco Murray. We were able to sign Seattle cornerback Walter Thurmond and running back Ryan Matthews. We got those four players for the same amount of money as we would have paid LeSean McCoy in this upcoming season.
Yeah, I mean, the signing of Murray and Matthews validates the McCoy trade.
Yeah, and, you know, not to mention we also got two very good defensive players as well. But the point is that we got four players for the cap hit of one. So, you know, all of Chip Kelly's moves are starting to make a little bit of sense now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, really, the only thing we have a question about is quarterback.
Right. And, you know, what's interesting about that is that a lot of people are saying that Chip Kelly is sold on Sam Bradford, that they really want to go forward with Sam Bradford. And, you know, it's strange because whenever they make a questionable move like this, you always see a whole bunch of articles pop up that talk about, well, you know, he's actually pretty good. And I've spent time reading those articles, and they all seem to be in agreement that Sam Bradford can be a good quarterback if he stays healthy.
This is a very big if.
Yeah. But here's the thing. All the articles also made this point, is that he never had any offensive weapons and no offensive line. You know, the Eagles have an offensive line, and now we have some offensive weapons in DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews. So, I don't know. Maybe we have a shot with Sam Bradford. You know, he showed flashes of brilliance, but his injuries always kept him from, you know, progressing further. Maybe he stays healthy this year. What do you think?
Well, I mean, first off, those are, you know, the ifs that are required.
Yeah.
But if he stays healthy, there shouldn't be any reason why he doesn't have success with this offense.
Yeah.
Especially with Murray behind him.
Yeah, yeah. A great line in front of him, Murray behind him. And, you know, we still have good tight ends with Brent Celek and Zach Ertz. In terms of wide receivers, I think we go out and we draft a wide receiver in probably the second round, because the draft is very deep in the wide receiver class. Mm-hmm. So we'll get some help there. Jordan Matthews is still very good on the inside. So I don't know. I think it's looking up for the team, especially since we got so much better on defense.
Yep.
When you look at defense, every position has been improved or stayed the same, with the exception of that final safety spot, because Nate Allen did sign with the Raiders, sadly.
Yeah, we need a safety.
Yeah. You don't seem so phased by that. You're like, yeah, whatever.
Well, anything's better than last year's
core.
Yeah. When it came to the passing attack.
Oh my God.
We just got burned left and right.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh my God. Dump the whole passing defense portion of this team.
And they did. They got rid of Nate Allen, Bradley Fletcher, and Kerry Williams all left.
Good.
The only one we kept was Malcolm Jenkins, and that's because he was the only one that actually played.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what this new group
I was expecting that. So
yeah. Yeah. As you know, the big free agent signing was Byron Maxwell, but we also got his former teammate in Walter Thurmond. And when they played together in Seattle, I think they were ranked, I think it's like 13th and like 30 something, or no, 13th and 24 in pass protection, not pass protection, coverage.
There you go.
It's very I'm very tired. So the point that I'm making is that when they played together in Seattle, they were in the top half of the league in terms of individual corners. So it's looking good for us.
Yep.
Better than what we had, at least.
Just fill in that safety slot, draft a wide receiver. Maybe if Mariota's still on the table, maybe you go after him.
Well, I have heard, it has been confirmed, that Chip Kelly was offered a first-round draft pick for Sam Bradford.
Oh.
The Browns coach said that he did contact him.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. So imagine if they trade Bradford for another first-round pick. So we have two first-round picks. Do they go up and get Mariota? Or do they just stockpile late first-round talent?
Well, I think if it's up to Chip Kelly, he'll go for Mariota. But I don't think he'll sacrifice more than he has to get him.
Yeah. And, you know, if we do get rid of Bradford to get another first-round pick, I think we almost have to go get Mariota, because otherwise we'd be starting Sanchez. I don't think anybody wants that.
No. Yeah.
So
Bring Tim Tebow back.
Well, You joke about that, but Tim Tebow was in to work out with the Eagles.
Oh, yeah. I think that was...
He did leave without a contract offer,
though. I think Chip Kelly was just messing with the media on that one.
I have a feeling Chip Kelly would do something like that.
He just wanted to see how much of a hype storm that was going to create.
Yeah.
Poor Tim Tebow. You think you're an NFL quarterback.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yeah. Aw. Look at the little Tim Tebow.
Now he's a baby, too, apparently.
Oh, look at that little team.
Oh, little Tebow.
Little Timmy.
Little Timmy. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry, Tim. If you can't throw, you're not going to be a quarterback.
Yeah.
They said that's his problem. He can't throw. I'm sorry. That's the basic job of a quarterback.
It seems like that would be the main requirement to being a quarterback.
You know,
right?
I don't care. You know, cool. It's awesome. He can run around and scramble.
That's
and,
never made a good quarterback.
But
though.
Yeah, that's sorry.
It's made okay quarterbacks, but not any quarterback that's really excelled.
Yeah.
You know, you look at players like Dante Culpepper and McNabb and Mike Vick. You know, Randall Cunningham was great, but he never won anything. So, you know, running quarterbacks, people do not. I know people that really hate running quarterbacks.
Tebow would have been great like 10 years ago.
Yeah,
he would have really cashed in then.
Yeah,
in the era of like Mike Vick and McNabb. Yeah,
although they are starting to make a comeback with Kaepernick and Wilson.
Yeah, but you can see Kaepernick his value is already declining.
Yeah, and Wilson, you know, didn't win the big one this past year, so.
Yeah, but I mean, Wilson, I feel like he runs when he absolutely... Wilson doesn't run for the sake of running.
That's true. He's what I would consider a mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
Not a running... And there is a difference. People think, like, oh, what's the difference? There is a difference.
Yeah. Wilson, if he feels the pressure is getting to him, he will take off.
Yeah.
But Kaepernick, on the other hand, will run for the sake of run.
Kaepernick is Mike Vick. 2004 era Mike Vick, and Russell Wilson is a better 2004 era Donovan McNabb, I think.
Because I think that's a fair assessment.
He uses his running to extend plays, to get out of the pocket, you know, let receivers get open. He doesn't immediately take off like Mike Vick or Colin Kaepernick would.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the difference. That's a running quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Just running for the sake of running. It's just annoying.
Yeah, it's first read and then run.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, first guy's not open. I better start running.
Yeah, right. instead of seeing the second or the third receiver. Yeah. Nope.
And you can tell because, you know, those types of quarterbacks leave guys wide open. They're just waiting there for the ball. And instead they're running in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
You know, that's Mike Vick's. That was Mike Vick's problem when he was here. But anyway, so I guess that pretty much wraps up Eagles' free agency moves until they make another big splash. Hopefully, things will start to calm down a little bit, though.
Yep. Or they invite Tim Tebow in to be the water boy. All right, let's get to one last topic here in the sports sampler.
Yeah, this one is probably the most shocking of the sports sampler topics. Recently, there's been a string of early retirements in the NFL, and you're saying, must be thinking, well, how strange is that? Well, let me tell you some of the people that have retired. First, let's start off with San Francisco middle linebacker Patrick Willis, one of the best middle linebackers of the past, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. He decided to step away from the game at the age of 30, which is relatively young for a linebacker. I feel like they usually go a little longer than that. You think about guys like Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher going for like 14, 15 years, you know. But Patrick Willis decided to step away from the game. Then Maurice Jones-Drew at 29, you know, he'd been plagued with injuries. He'd played for quite some time, but he decided to step away at the age of 29. But these next few guys, this is where it gets shocking. Pittsburgh outside linebacker Jason Worlds, 27 years old and considered one of the top outside linebacker free agents, due to get a nice, big, fat paycheck, decided to retire because he wanted to do other things at the age of 27. Going even younger than that, Tennessee quarterback Jake Locker, 26, decides to retire. I guess 4 years in Tennessee will make anybody want to step away from the game.
Yeah, lest we forget, that is Tennessee.
Yo, we're from Tennessee!
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee, and that way you'll be safe.
Yeah, but still, 26 is really young to retire from the game of football.
It is.
That's what makes this next person even more incredible. San Francisco linebacker Chris Borland, a rookie last year, considered a rising rookie star. He had 107 tackles in 14 games, 2 picks, a forced fumble, and a sack, retiring at the age of 24.
24,
only played one season in the NFL.
That's younger than us.
That is younger than us. Boy, way to make me feel depressed, Rich.
Sorry.
That fucking sucked. It does. But yeah, this guy, younger than us, this young whippersnapper, played one season in the NFL, had a great rookie year, and decides to step away from the game. Why don't we listen to his decision in his own words? I have a brief clip here where he sums up what's going through his mind.
All right, well, let's play the clip.
And I've had close friends who said, well, why don't you just play one more year? It's a lot more money. You probably won't get hurt. I just don't want to get in a situation where I'm negotiating my health for money. And who knows how many hits is too many. And my end goal is a long-term picture. It's not I'm not willing to sacrifice 15 to 20 years of my life, even if I die healthy, but younger. You know, I want to live a long, healthy life, and I could be wrong. I hope I am. I hope my friends and teammates who've played this game and continue to decide to play this game are healthy. But for me, just personally, I don't think the risks were worth what I could gain from football.
So, yeah, to put it simply, the risks, it's not worth the risk. Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
That's pretty incredible.
And I got to admit, it almost sounds like he's afraid.
It does, in a way.
Yeah.
It does. You know, this is a guy, you know, I've been reading up on this. This is a guy that said he sat down, he talked with family members, and he talked to concussion researchers, talked to current and former teammates. He studied up on this, and then he came to the decision that he just thought it wasn't right for him. He said, I just honestly want to do what's best for my health. From what I've researched and what I've experienced, I don't think it's worth the risk. And he says that a few times in his quotes. That's very telling and very chilling. The fact that somebody this young is looking at this and saying, you know what, it's not worth the danger. And, you know, the NFL is a dangerous game. But what do you make of all this? The fact that now these young stars, and these are young stars, you know, Jason Worlds and Chris Borland were due to get, you know, well, not maybe not Chris Borland, but Jason Worlds was due to get a big payday. Chris Borland was going to be the next starting linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. And they're willing just to give it up because of this fear of injury.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a big blow to the NFL's and the commissioner.
Yeah.
His campaign to reduce concussions. I mean, obviously, if you're getting kids at 24, 26, 27 all saying that, screw this, I would rather be working a regular office job than getting paid to, getting paid to give or take concussions. You know, that's a pretty big, that's a pretty bold statement that your own players are making. And obviously there must be a perception that the NFL isn't going to take care of you.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the really sad part about it.
Cause you're talking about these guys in their 20s that are afraid of what's going to happen when their health catches up to them.
Yeah. And you know, the signs are there. I'm reading this article, more than 70 former players have been diagnosed with progressive neurological disease after their deaths. And numerous studies have shown that connections between the repetitive head trauma associated with football, brain damage, and issues such as depression and memory loss. I think you make an excellent point that these players are afraid that the NFL isn't doing enough, and they're taking a proactive approach to it by retiring really early. And it's sad and kind of scary when you think about it. But what does this mean for the future of football? How does this affect the game moving forward? Do we start to see shorter careers now? Are more people going to take this approach? Does this prohibit, you know, young athletes from pursuing possibly playing football? You know, I'm talking about like high school and college athletes, but even younger than that. I mean, do parents let their kids play football? I mean, obviously, yes.
Yeah,
but
you know what?
This has to have some type of impact on them hearing this news.
Yeah, I mean, you can start to see it a little bit in the next generation of kids playing football, where, you know, the kids are playing flag football, but the moment they go to high school and they say we want to play, you know, real tackle helmet football, their parents start to get a little uneasy. You know, that, you know, the next time you step out onto the field, you know, you might walk away with a concussion.
Yeah. And
the worst part is we don't have the long-term studies as to what exactly the effects are of sustaining a concussion when you're 16, a concussion when you're 18, a concussion when you're 20, a concussion when you're in college, a concussion when you're in NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, how much is a concussion on top of a concussion on top of a concussion?
Yeah.
Really does to the human brain further down the line.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, it hasn't been until the past. See, I can't even remember talk of this until about 2 years ago.
Right.
2-3 years ago. And it's only after.
See, I'll never forget this. You said this. I think the very first time Goodell mentioned the concussion thing as his big point.
Yeah.
You said this a while ago.
Okay.
And it was good on you.
Okay.
You said that, like, when we were growing up,
right,
if somebody got a concussion, we just wrote it off as just, oh, he got his bell rung.
Yeah.
And that was it. And that was it. We just thought of it as that and nothing more.
Yeah. It was the bell rung society. You know, it was just nobody thought to take it as a sign of a bigger problem. And, you know, we didn't really understand the consequences of it until recently. And, you know, all these shocking, I don't know if you remember, about a year or two ago, a couple of players committed suicide.
Yeah.
A couple of former players committed suicide. Yeah, Junior Seau, yeah. And not until after those shocking deaths, they go and they do the autopsy. Oh, geez. You know, they had this neurological disease that had never been diagnosed. And, you know,
made worse by the concussions.
Made worse by the concussions, yeah. And, you know, these numbers, you know, more than 70 former players were diagnosed with progressive neurological disease after their deaths. But after their deaths, you know, not enough is being done to catch this stuff before they die, you know. But there are studies that show that these concussions, it's not even just the big concussions. You know, there are some studies that say it's even the small little jarring movements in every single play. You know, when you look at how the offensive and defensive lines crash together, they're saying that doing that, you know, 70 times a game, that's going to have wear and tear on the brain as well. So I don't know what the NFL can do to fix this, if it's new helmet technology, if it's changing rules. You know, I don't know if there really is anything they can do. Will we see football go the way of boxing at some point?
Yeah, that would be a different way to view it.
People always thought, you know, boxing is huge, and it still is huge, but it was
not as huge as it once was.
At one point, boxing was a bigger college sport than football was.
Yeah.
Way back in, I'm talking way back in the early part of the 20th century. We're getting into history now. But no.
Well, you are a history major.
Yeah, but the point stands is that boxing was as big as, you know, these NCAA sports. We're talking about March Madness. That was boxing back in the day. And then people really stopped to think about it, and they're like, boy, maybe it's not so smart to pummel each other, you know, close to death just for some people's entertainment. Guess what? They're still doing it. It's called the NFL. Yeah. And I love the NFL. You know, that is the only sport I'll watch is football. But it makes me stop and think, you know, if these guys, 27, 26, 24 years old, younger than we are, they're saying they're willing to give up millions of dollars because of the stuff that they're learning about, that's a little troubling.
Yeah. So there you go. A very startling development in the NFL. Hopefully the NFL will address it more concretely than just the regular. They gave their standard boilerplate answer, I think, to these retirements.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the NFL.
They said, unexpected, we respect this decision. And I'm paraphrasing, standard, of course. Yeah. And they're like, we're committed to continued player safety. BS. No, they're not. I mean, they are, but not really.
they are in as so far as it doesn't cost them major revenue streams.
Right, right. But if they had the chance, they'd extend the season to 18 games.
Right, they would.
They would.
And wouldn't that cause more concussions?
Yeah. You know, it's tricky when you're a multi-billion dollar corporation, you know? Now I'm just being extra cynical.
All right. Well, you know what? When Mike starts to get too cynical, I think that means we need to take a break. We need to have calmer heads prevail.
Yeah, that's true.
And we'll rest up and get ready for our next segment. We'll go into a little break. Because coming up next, we'll have the entertainment entree. Mike will present this week in entertainment. We'll have a couple of headlines to talk to you about there. And then we'll have the non-fortune cookie odd news. So don't go anywhere. More of the Chris Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Michigan is making sure that your beer pint at the bar cannot be 16 ounces or fewer.
Do you have like an official beer inspector standing there?
Yeah, the Michigan beer thing.
The Michigan beer thing. The MBT.
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir. Where was the MBT? Is there 16 ounces in there? I'm sorry, sir. I'm reading 15.6 ounces. I'm going to have to take you in. So.
On the streets of Michigan, the Michigan beer thing is out and about to make sure you get the right beer.
Not the right beer, the right amount
of beer. Right amount of beer. I'm drunk right now.
It's all part of the business with the MBT.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We don't care if it's late at night.
Nope.
That's the time we're recording this show. We don't care. It could be early in the morning. Cock-a-doodle-doo. We don't care. We will still give you the Crispy Noodle Podcast with our raw opinions, our raw emotions, and raw stories that we will cover.
Damn Skippy.
Yeah. I felt very powerful there.
Yeah. And I sort of undermined the whole thing by saying, damn Skippy.
Good job, Mike. Well, we try to be informative, but we also try to be entertaining.
Infotainment.
If you will, yes. So, therefore, one portion of the show has to revolve around the entertainment headlines. So, we call this portion of the show the Entertainment Entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Guess what?
What?
That whole theme song thing that we just played?
Yeah.
That was all constructed by the various sounds that one bored person heard on his local flight from one part of the country to another. He recorded it and mixed it all on his laptop in one flight.
That was awesome.
Everything in that clip is on an airplane. The beeps, the girls saying the message at the beginning, everything is from the airplane.
I don't know. I don't hear any dubstep when I fly.
Let's do it again. It's only 30 seconds, but it's awesome.
Please sit back, relax, and enjoy the view outside.
So there you go.
That's really catchy. I'm loving it.
Today's random clip of the week brought to you by
airplanes.
Yeah, airplanes. the username is UB, Y-O-U-B-E-E. And his video is simply called "This Is What Happens When You're Bored on a Plane."
Awesome.
There's another video that explains how he recorded it and how he remixed it. If you want to,
I might have to check that out. Yeah.
If you want to get into the nitty gritty, go check out his YouTube channel. But oh, that's just amazing. 30 seconds, but there you go.
We might have to incorporate that into later episodes.
Yeah, so,
very catchy.
Some sort of musical bit there, but yeah. Just props to him. Why not? If you're bored on an airplane ride, why not? Make some music out of it.
Yeah, why? I mean, you have nothing else to do other than watch clouds and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? What? That's what you do on an airplane.
Right.
Eat really horrible airplane food, too. So.
All right. So anyway. There you go. That's our random clip to start off the entertainment entree. And now, to dive further into the entertainment entree, we have Mike's segment, This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mike, why don't you tell us what the latest things are going on in movies, video games, and TV to check out?
Okay, well, first up, we go to the world of film to hear about this new movie coming out, Kumiku the Treasure Hunter. This sounds like a really neat, interesting concept. Just a brief synopsis here. A lonely Japanese woman becomes convinced that a satchel of money buried and lost in a fictional film is in fact real. With a crudely drawn treasure map and limited preparation, she escapes her structured life in Tokyo and embarks on a foolhardy quest across the tundra of Minnesota in search of her mythical fortune. Right now,
that sounds interesting.
It does sound really interesting. Right now, also, it's got a 77 on Metacritic and a 91 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that sounds decent.
So go check that out. It has an all Japanese cast, I guess. But it looks to be pretty interesting. Great, unique concept for a drama, I think. So go check out that movie, Kumiku the Treasure Hunter, opening this weekend. In the world of video games, we have Mario Party 10, now with extra digits.
Woo!
Yeah. I don't know what else to say about Mario Party 10 other than it's the exact same as Mario Parties 1 through 9.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Mario Party was fun when the first couple ones came out. I don't know how Mario Party 10 is going to be that different.
I know. I you figure it's more of the same thing, just with a different number. But they've gone double digit now, Rich.
Woo!
So, you know, that's very important to them.
Watch out.
Yeah, watch out. Oh, man. They're the big 1-0 now. But if you're interested in Mario Party and all the, you know, it's a great party game, you know, to enjoy with a couple of friends, you know, if you've got nothing else to do, pop in Mario Party. So go check that out on the Wii U coming out this weekend. Finally, though, in the world of TV, this one, so excited for this. Community returns for its 6th season. You can watch all 13 episodes for free on Yahoo Screen. But only the first few are available now. You'll have to check back every Tuesday for a new episode, which is something new in the world of streaming. This concept of having an actual schedule. You know, what is that?
Yeah, that usually doesn't happen.
Yeah. But the point is, I'm super excited to go watch Community again. I haven't had a chance to go check out the new episodes. But, you know, if it's anything like the past 5 seasons, you know what you're in for. It's going to be hilarious, absurd fun. So go check out Community on Yahoo Screen. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, there you go. Thank you for that update. But, you know, that kind of leads us into the first big topic point here in the entertainment entree.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, Community is doing this weird scheduling thing where you have to check back every Tuesday. I mean, who ever heard of that? You have to check back with a show?
Actually tune in to watch a show at a specific time. What is this, 2012?
Yeah, man.
But,
It sounded like the Waffle,
oh,
God. Waffle coming
Wofford
back.
Waffle. Well, Rich, let me tell you.
We have to go watch the Community on Tuesday at 9 p.m.
Oh, my gosh.
well, there's something still wrong with online streaming video. Let's give it a look at. I don't know.
The Waffle doesn't know what he's talking about. Shut up, Waffer. Waffle, get out of here.
Yeah.
I now have multiple personality disorder. yelling at myself. But, no, I mean, Wofford's point still stands that there is still some kinks to work out with this whole online streaming thing. Community made me think of this, though. Community, is just the latest big name show to start on online streaming. And they're trying to do something different. They're trying to adhere to a schedule and have people tune in each week to watch a new episode, just like they would on real TV. So it just, in my mind, it raised some questions about online streaming in general. Like, what is the state of it? You know, how far has it succeeded in helping people to cut the cable cord? So first, to start things off, what do you think about this Community having an actual, weekly release? Is this a good thing, a bad thing? I could see arguments for both sides of the coin, but what's your thought process on this?
Well, I mean, I would say it's a good thing. I mean, I know various YouTube channels, they adhere to a schedule.
Yeah.
You know, new video every Tuesday or something, or video every Thursday. So, I mean, it's not ancient. It's not something that's, like, outdated.
That's true.
It's not an outdated practice.
But Netflix has made it so that people expect to binge watch an entire season in a weekend. So is Yahoo Screen hurting themselves, or?
I mean, I don't think they're necessarily hurting themselves, you know?
Yeah. You know, well, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I mean, and also Netflix is kind of the only channel that just dumps a whole season of content at once.
Yeah.
I don't think any other channel really does that. No channels on YouTube really
yeah.
do that.
Well, YouTube is different. I mean, they don't
Hulu,
really have.
I don't think any show on Hulu does that.
I'm not entirely sure about Hulu. You know, it's funny that you mentioned Hulu, because I went on Hulu for the first time in over a year to see what some of their original programming was like in researching this story. And I went to my Hulu queue, and it had like 100 and some items in it that were all expired. And I went to my viewing history, and the last thing I watched was from more than a year ago on Hulu. Yeah. So the point is, Hulu's basically like a graveyard. but yeah, Netflix has, you know, going back to the topic at hand, Netflix has really, been the pioneer of this like season dump thing where they just dump an entire season, for their, subscribers to watch. And people have been getting used to it. You know, I know a lot of people that just go and binge watch a show, the first weekend it's out. But there's something to be said about that, about why these shows aren't, I mean, they're popular, but you don't hear them talked about as much as, say, The Walking Dead or Game of Thrones. And I think the reason – I think we talked about this once, but I think the reason behind that is because if you binge watch it an entire weekend, there's nothing to discuss. You know, when an episode of The Walking Dead comes out every week, we're like, oh, my God, did you watch that? Did you see what happened? What do you think is going to happen next? You know, it gives time for people's thoughts to – you know, it gives them time to digest the episode, to have these thoughts percolate and – you know, these communities to form where, you know, these fan groups are discussing the episodes, discussing the future of the show. But when it's all dumped at once, you don't get that happening from week to week. There's no fan interaction.
Yeah, it's very tough to establish that. I mean, you can kind of see that with the different subreddits.
Yeah.
If you go to, like, Walking Dead, they have great great fan feedback because
right.
we're reacting, commenting to each episode.
Exactly.
But then if you go to the House of Cards subreddit,
it's probably dead, isn't it?
I mean, it's not dead, but it's just more of – it's harder to start a discussion – it's harder to start a discussion on the House of Cards Reddit because either people haven't seen all the episodes all at once or they did it when it first came out and maybe they forgot some details. Yeah. So
there's nothing playing field. There's nothing to look forward to. And it's already happened, you know?
Yeah, other than like predicting like season 4 for House of Cards.
Yeah, well, please no spoilers. I don't know if there's going to be season 4 or not. because I've been bad with my House of Cards watching.
Oh, damn it, Mike!
I know. I'm only like halfway through season one. I started it like a year ago, and then I just got distracted and never got back to it. But there's other issues also with online streaming. And the reason why this is a big topic is because PlayStation, Sony, just announced their new internet streaming service, PlayStation View, spelled V-U-E. I don't know why. It's just the view. I don't know. But they're the view.
Oh, God. It's out.
Not the French Rich. Get out of here, French Rich. You guys sit in the corner with Wofford Waffle.
No. Please out. Need to take me to the view. Ha.
Okay. I still can't understand a thing you say in French. I'm acting like you're actually speaking French.
Over there. French Rich is over there now.
With Wofford Waffle.
Yeah.
I want to come out of the corner. No, you don't. Shut up.
Lisa, I'm out.
You two get back in the corner.
Lisa, El Waffle.
Yeah, listen to the waffle. Or, yeah. No, don't listen to the waffle. But, yeah, so as French Rich pointed out, PlayStation View is launching in New York, Chicago, and Philadelphia. So if...
Give us Le View.
Yeah, exactly. Give us Le View. So,
give us Le View, mademoiselle.
Yes. So as French Rich pointed out again correctly, if you're in the Philadelphia area, which most of you probably are, you can subscribe to PlayStation View. You get about 50 channels. It's got a lot of good programming. But here's the issue is that the base price is $50 a month. And then to access all 75 channels, you need to go up to $70 a month, which is kind of counterintuitive to the whole cutting the cable thing. I mean, at $70 a month, you know, if you tack on Netflix and HBO Go, you're looking at like $100 a month.
Anyway.
Yeah, you might as well just get cable at that point, right?
Yeah.
So, I guess the point that I'm making here is that internet streaming solutions for cutting the cable still are not all the way there yet. People thought that this PlayStation View service was really going to open up the market a little bit, but I guess people were a little upset at the price points that Sony laid out. What do you think about this? You know, this it is very steeply priced.
Yeah, I unfortunately, unless these prices come down, I don't think PlayStation View is gonna last very long.
Yeah, I mean it's an entertaining concept, but it has to be at the right price point.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible to cut the cord with a cable, but yeah, you need to have prices that make it attractive to do so.
Right. And, you know, some companies still haven't figured out how to get news, sports, and live events onto these cable cutting services. Like right now, you can get basically everything except for premium channels, news, and sports. And those are three big areas, you know, that people want to continue to view content. So, and nobody, the point I'm making is that no service has yet solved these problems. You know, in addition to the fact that these solutions are still missing features. Like PlayStation View doesn't have a DVR. So it has the ability for you to mark favorite shows, and then you can watch the latest episode from your favorite shows up to 28 days after it airs. But you can't actually DVR anything, and there's no on-demand. So it's very strange for those people that are used to on-demand and DVR to just go back and watch any episode they want from the past season. Now it's like the anti-Netflix, where Netflix you have to wait 28 days, and this one you only have 28 days to watch the latest episodes. So that's another barrier to people adopting this model. But there is some hope in this area, because as soon as the PlayStation View service was announced, rumors started to swirl that Apple will be launching an internet TV streaming device and service sometime this fall. Apparently, they're in talks with all the major providers, with all the major networks, with the exception of NBC, who I think they have a disagreement with. But could Apple be the company to finally crack this nut?
Oh, yeah, why not? And then you can stream it to your watch.
Yeah,
oh,
well,
perfect.
Who doesn't want to watch the latest episodes of whatever on their one-inch screen on their wrist?
I'll tell you what, man. When I watch a Christopher Nolan movie, I want it on my one-inch.
Yeah.
$18,000 gold watch.
Not $18,000, only $10,000.
Whatever.
So
make
yeah.
it $18,000. Put another well, diamond on it.
Well, it's $10,000 for the watch and $8,000 for the streaming service.
Oh, there
yeah,
you go.
So, there
so
you go.
It is $18,000.
Yeah, $18,000. But you know, I mean, we're joking, but there's something to be said for Apple in the way they've innovated the music industry with the concept of purchasing individual songs. And that's one of the things people want for these internet streaming services is to have a la carte channels. So you know how the cable packages have like 300 channels and half of them are music and Spanish channels and like obscure sports channels. I mean, you might enjoy it, but I'm not really frequenting the golf network.
Mike,
so,
why not?
Yeah. But, or the tennis network. You know, nobody watches these channels.
You don't watch the curling channel?
Well, I do actually, Rich. That's where you're mistaken.
Finally.
Curling is an awesome sport, by the way.
How about the ski slope channel?
I actually like all those weird Olympic sports.
There you go. See? Yeah. You do have a purpose for it.
I do have a purpose, yeah. But not really, no. I only watch them when the Olympics come around. But no, this is the big thing that people want. The people,
chess channel.
The chess – no, not that one.
Oh, man. Borowski's making a great move. Oh, my God.
Pawn to e5. I don't even know if that's a possible move. What is e5?
I guess that would be the middle of the board.
I guess.
That maybe. Sounds like it would be in the middle of it.
Yeah. I only play against my computer, so I'm not really a chess expert.
Bishop to floor on through to
floor.
Yeah, bishop to floor.
Bishop to floor. Boss, I'm already on the floor. Get more on the floor. Bishop to floor.
French fry to corner kitchen.
I thought you were gonna start playing pool and be like French fry to corner pocket.
Yeah, actually, the billiards channel and the chess channel merged.
Yeah, it's billiards chess.
You have to play a game of billiards and chess at the same time.
That's tough.
Yeah. So instead of doing the click thing with the clock,
you have to make your move and then shoot.
Yes, and you have to go back and forth. That's the new game coming out.
Or the billiards table. Is a chessboard, and you have to shoot the pieces onto the different squares. Doesn't that sound cool? That would be ridiculously hard.
Also, wouldn't that prevent anything from being a round shape? So if you, like, hit
No, I mean, you would have balls, but you would just have the picture of the pieces painted on them, Rich. Come on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've got balls of steel.
They would not be made out of steel. That sounds dangerous. But...
I've got balls of steel.
Okay, Duke Nukem, if you want to use your own balls of steel to play billiards, go ahead.
I've got balls of steel.
That guy is persistent.
Yes, he is. He wants to use his.
Yeah. Just drops them on the table, thunk.
I've got balls of steel.
Yeah.
But you know what? Apple may have balls of steel this fall if they do come out.
I've got balls of steel.
If they do come out with a service. I'm trying to bring it back, Rich.
Yes.
I'm trying to bring it back.
I've got balls of steel.
All right. But, so, yeah, I mean, I think Apple could be the one company to sort of have a solution for this issue if they approach it the same way they did the music industry. If they have a la carte channels where you're like, okay, I want these five channels at $2 a channel, that might be a solution to this issue. But honestly, the cable companies are so entrenched, I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Yeah, unless the price is worth it, it's going to be tough to get people to cut cable.
Yeah, and that's ultimately the bottom line. You know, I did some number crunching, and if you were to get Hulu Plus, PlayStation View, Netflix, Amazon Prime, and HBO Go, I mean, you're looking at about $140 a month. So at that point, just stick with Comcast, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and mind you, that's only for the streaming services. You need the internet to actually access all that. So even if you cut the cable portion of your cable bill, you're still going to have to go to Comcast or Verizon to get the internet. So, you know, it's like I'm saying it's going to be difficult to find the perfect solution, I guess.
Damn cable companies.
Damn cable companies. I know. It's such a disappointing ending point for that. It's going to be. But, you know, I don't know. It's just
that. That fucking sucked.
Yeah, it does. But that's one of the modern challenges facing the entertainment industry is this, you know, issue of streaming and still trying to perfect it. I think some companies are close, but not quite yet. But anyway, that about wraps that up. Why don't we move on to the world of video games, Rich?
Yeah, we got two quick bulletins here.
Yeah, two quick bulletins, the first of which involves one of the most legendary video game companies of all time, Nintendo, recently announced that they are, in fact, getting into the mobile games arena.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a big deal.
That is a huge deal. They've been fighting it for so long. You know, who can blame them? Apple and Android have been their biggest handheld competitors. You know, taking away sales from the 3DS. You know, everybody wants to play games on their smartphones now. I personally don't care that much for it. I don't like touch controls, but a lot of people do. So, yeah, Nintendo announced that they're going to team up with the developer Dena, I guess, D-E-N-A, Dena. They're buying a stake in the company. They're buying about 10% of the company, and Dena will create new mobile experiences for Nintendo to be distributed on PC, tablets, and mobile phones.
Hello, it's me, Mario. Woohoo!
That's right, yeah. And they will be able to work with Mario as well as Zelda, Metroid, Animal Crossing, Pikmin, and all the other great Nintendo franchises out there. Yeah. So this is exciting for a lot of Nintendo fans, video game fans in general. But the thing here that is a little disappointing is that it is new gaming experiences. This isn't, you know, these aren't going to be ports of classics.
Which is a shame because I think that would sell like hotcakes.
Let me tell you, if they put out Pokemon Red for iPhone, I mean a legal version of it, I would totally play that nonstop. It's just a shame. Yeah, Pokemon Healing Center music, I think.
Yes!
Yeah!
Wow,
Pokemon Red!
Wow.
Pokemon Red!
Nailed the actual time it's used, too.
I love that damn game. It's so good. It's so good. I mean, ignoring the whole Pokemon thing, I mean, as a game, it is a really, really good game. But anyway, my love of Pokemon Red aside, I'm interested to see how this is going to work out because Nintendo is also talking about a service, a digital service that would work across computers, smartphones, and tablets. So I don't know if this is like a subscription service where you subscribe and you can play games on demand or if this is something where you can play games across different platforms. You know, this is very early in the announcement, so there's not a lot to report, but it's... Yeah, it is a major, what was that? The coin noise?
Yep.
Coin noise from Mario? Yeah, Nintendo's going to be raking in the big bucks when they finally release some mobile games, apparently later this fall. So be on the lookout for some new Nintendo games on your, I guess, iPhone and Android phones. So
that'll be weird that you can play Nintendo games on them.
It will be. It will definitely be weird. But it'll also be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. And finally, last quick story here in the entertainment entree. This is also something I'm excited for. Haven't been excited for this in a long time, but I think it's a little overdue now. Harmonix announced that they are, in fact, working on Rock Band 4, and it's releasing this fall.
Get ready. Get your plastic instruments ready.
Yeah.
God.
I don't care what you say. I'm kind of excited, to be honest, to see a new Rock Band. It's been a while since I've strapped on the old plastic guitar, strutted out on that fake stage.
You got the band back together.
Get the band back together. We were an awesome plastic instrument band, Rich.
Yeah, man.
Come on. We were pretty good.
I actually liked doing the bass. I thought that was a great position to be in.
Yeah, the bass was always fun. I always liked to strum up instead of strumming down to pretend that I was like actually playing the bass, you know?
So, yep, I guess we're actually going to do this and get the plastic instruments together. Wasn't Bruno the drummer?
JB was the drummer, yeah.
Our assistant producer of the show.
Yeah, and our other friend Ryan used to sing.
Yeah, so there we go. Yeah. We got the band.
Got to get the band back together.
Perfect. I'm too
cocaine. Well, we're all clean now after our...
Who's clean? You guys are?
Oh, you never stopped?
Whoops. I'm too
cocaine. Is that what that powder is, Rich? It's all over... I'm too cocaine. It's all over my dining room table.
No, that's flour. I'm too cocaine.
Were you baking?
Yeah, I was baking some...
Cocaine?
No, I was baking some tasty cookies. Yeah, that's totally what I was doing.
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
What a... Who told you can eat my cookies?
Mm. Oh, these cookies!
Put that cookie down now!
Yeah, totally, totally legit.
Yeah, totally. I don't want to get Arnold angry, so we'll drop the talk of cookies, and we'll stick on this amazing rock band announcement, because there are some key points here, just a few quick bullet points. They announced that all previous DLC will work with the new game. That is huge.
Yeah.
Because for a while there, Rock Band was releasing DLC every single week. I think they had released like over 2,000 songs, something ridiculous like that. So all those songs will be playable at some point in the future on Rock Band 4. They're exploring options for the old peripherals to work with the new game. They will have new instruments, but they want to see if they can incorporate the legacy instruments somehow so maybe people don't have to go out and buy peripherals, which would be great. Because I have so many plastic guitars in my basement.
You still have them?
I'm not just going to throw them out. They were, like, freaking expensive at the time.
Oh, I thought you would have, like, sold them back to, like, GameStop.
No, because after the rhythm game market crashed, nobody would take them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that shows you how big it was and then how far it fell. But it's been about 5 years now since any real rhythm games came out. So maybe... A little less than that, about 3 or 4 years, maybe.
All right, well, there you go.
But
dig up your plastic instruments.
Yeah, go dig up the plastic instruments, but not the keyboard. They're getting rid of the keyboard. They're sticking to the core band experience. And most importantly, they're taking song requests. They have a website opened up where you can put in the song title and the artist name. And, of course, I suggested a bunch of Guns N' Roses songs. And I also suggested Stairway to Heaven, of course. I don't know if they'll take my suggestions, but we'll see.
There you go. Listen to Mike.
Yeah, listen to me. God damn it. Wouldn't that be amazing if they did get Stairway to Heaven?
That would be a great one.
That would be great.
To jam out to.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think the market is ready for another rock band. So I don't know. I'll have to wait and pass judgment until it comes out and I hear more about it. But for right now... rhythm game fans are eagerly anticipating Rock Band 4's release this fall. We'll have more news probably when E3 rolls around sometime in June. So stay tuned for that.
All right, and there you go. That's what we have for the entertainment entree for this week. Video game news, internet news, this week in entertainment, and airport music.
Why
not? Airplane music. Perfect. Yes. So there you go. That wraps it up for the entertainment entree. But that does not wrap it up for the rest of the show because we have one more segment to go, and it is the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. I will have this week's blast of odd news, a lot of crazy stories to get to. So don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Thieves made off with a full tractor trailer filled of shredded mozzarella cheese bound for a Hungry Howie's Pizza distribution center in Central Florida.
Why?
Would you like to take a guess at how much cheese that's worth?
Oh, God.
$85,000
way off.
Worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
That's a lot of cheese.
The truck was officially reported stolen on Sunday. It's on the loose right now in Florida. Someone has $85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
What were they planning to do with the cheese?
Can't exactly sell that on the black market. You
yeah,
know?
I can just picture people on like street corner. Hey, want some mozzarella? I mean, can you buy street cheese?
Street cheese?
Yeah, like street drugs, street cheese.
Oh man, this is the good stuff.
Oh man, I got some hardcore mozzarella here. They like snort it. Oh man, people are like hooked on mozzarella.
Yeah.
Oh man, you got that mozzarella?
You got that mozzarella?
Oh boy.
Why'd you turn to Mickey Mouse there at the end?
He's in Florida, right?
Yeah, he is. I need some more of that mozzarella cheese.
Mickey Mouse has a drug addiction to stolen mozzarella cheese.
I can't run the park without my mozzarella cheese. Goofy, you got some more?
Of course, Mickey. I don't have any mozzarella.
Oh, boy. You need to get me that dime bag. You don't give me that dime back, I'm going to blow your effing head off.
I'm the one who knocks.
Yes.
I would now want to
oh
see
my gosh.
A Breaking Bad and Mickey Mouse crossover where they're dealing mozzarella cheese.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
You think that is me? I am the danger.
Say my name.
Yes.
Say
my name.
Mickey Mouse.
You're goddamn right.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking out late at night. Oh, I got it. You just got to love this.
Oh, man, it's the greatest, especially with the next segment that we're going into.
That's right, because coming up next, it's time for your weekly dose of all the crazy but true news that I've found from my odd news feed. Folks, it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
And there are 360 ways to see an elephant. If you put an elephant in the center of a circle and go around that circle 1 degree at a time, you will see that same elephant in 360 different perspectives. The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
Woo! All right, there
That's
we go.
That's right, yep. And just like Gary Busey and his elephant, we examine every story from 360 degrees. This has got to be my favorite segment. I think this is a lot of people's favorite segment. For those of you that don't know, here in the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I've never heard these stories before. He keeps them hidden from me up until when we go into the segment right now.
Papers.
So, yeah, he's got his papers there. He just pulled them out of his secret folder. Oh, my gosh. He has
papers.
So many odd newspapers.
There you go.
But, yeah, so my reactions are my gut reactions. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because sometimes these stories take us on crazy paths that we can't expect. Like that Breaking Mickey thing.
Yeah.
from last Mickey. Episode.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
If you want to check out the full story behind that, check out last week's episode. But are you ready to dive into this week's craziest stories?
Yeah, let's get started. I'm ready to dive into them.
All right, our first story takes place in Las Vegas, and that should be a sign that bad things are coming.
Uh-oh, you had to bring the fail music out and everything.
Yep.
But I thought what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Well,
how did this story get out?
Well, this one got out, and it came to my attention.
Hey, snitches get stitches.
Well, apparently you're going to need to find whoever wrote this news report. But the story starts out with a 47-year-old Andrew Scott Martin of Henderson, Nevada, who is a highly regarded orthopedic surgeon.
Okay.
He apparently seems like a normal guy, a well-respected member of the community.
He's just an upstanding middle-class citizen.
Yep. But apparently police say that in his home, he threw wild sex parties and sold illegal drugs regularly.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That's the actual statement from the police report.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah, it's always the quiet ones that are the craziest.
Well, Mr. Martin is accused of trafficking and possessing drugs. But this is all accusations. He actually pleaded not guilty to all the charges.
Okay.
But this is very surprising considering that a surprise raid of Dr. Miller's home, Dr. Martin's home, allegedly turned up mushrooms, the steroid testosterone just on hand, I guess.
Okay. Wow.
Ecstasy, cocaine, and marijuana.
That's a party.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah, that's a party.
Why are you just having testosterone lying around? What does that...
to help with the wild sex escapades.
I know it's something to do with sex.
I don't know. What would taking testosterone do?
I don't. Maybe I don't. Does it make you last longer in bed? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't.
What
think
else do you do with just vials of testosterone?
I don't think that's what they use that for. But
what? I don't know. What do you do with it?
I don't know. Maybe it's like a garnish for a drink or something.
Oh, what?
Just toss it in there. I don't know. I don't know what goes on at weird sex orgy parties in Las Vegas. I've never been to one. Especially not one thrown by an orthopedic with access to testosterone steroids. That's crazy.
The situation.
Have you been to many Las Vegas orgies?
No, I've not been to many Las Vegas.
Not
I've,
many,
I've
just
been to
a few.
One. Yeah, I've
just
been,
you dabble. Right. Yeah,
I dabble in.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I just dabble in the illegal activities. Yeah,
right. You know, I just show up. I'm like, hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Have a few drinks, then you're out of there.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Just walk in, see what's happening. Just grab your hat, walk back out.
Yeah. Right.
All right, okay.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I did.
But do we have any actual details what these people were doing at their orgy? I really want to know what these types of weird sex parties are like with this orthopedic. What was he, an orthopedic
surgeon, yeah.
So were they getting, like, kinky with, like, taking braces off and stuff?
Well, the situation gets weirder as Martin's wife, Jennifer Martin, was arrested, but she pleaded guilty to possessions of drugs.
Okay.
So unless...
Kind of.
So unless he blames this all on the wife, there's no way he's not going to...
He needs some type of scapegoat.
Yeah, right. He's going to have to blame all this on his wife. There's no way else he's going to get out of this.
Yeah.
The raid was at the Martin's house, and the raid found that among eight people arrested, there was a secret sex party network among the eight people. The people said that Martin regularly threw, quote, swinger parties themed like Eyes Wide Shut.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so we're talking some serious action here.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Wow.
So, there you go.
So his wife's going to take all the blame for it, then.
I guess.
It was all her idea, officer.
Yeah.
I had no idea what was happening.
Yes. It was all her. I had no idea what the hell was going on here.
Yeah. By the way, I looked up orthopedic, and it doesn't have to do with teeth. It's bones.
What?
Because I made a comment about him taking off braces, but orthopedic isn't
that. No, that's orthodontist.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, knee braces and
No. That was a big failure in communication between both of us.
Whoops.
I meant braces as in teeth, but you interpreted as braces as in knees.
Yeah.
And then I fact-checked myself.
Because I have bad knees.
Yeah.
There you go.
Anyway,
of our life.
Well,
welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We can't even communicate
with
each other, right?
I was way off target.
It's okay.
It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
All right. Okay.
See that? I failed at making a joke, and then I failed at correcting myself for making the wrong joke. So, yeah. Wild sex parties. Let's get back on topic.
A female undercover officer also said that Martin rubbed up against her when she was undercover and tried to kiss her during one of the wild sex parties. So I don't know. Things aren't looking good for
them. They had undercover people there.
Yeah, I don't think
let's not pretend like we don't know what's going on here. She wasn't really on duty when she was there, was she?
she was just having a good time.
Yeah.
So I don't think this doctor is gonna be able to beat the charges here.
I don't know what you're talking about. The wife did it.
Did all of it.
You said the wife pleaded guilty, right?
Yeah, but there's a lot of
I don't know, man.
No, all right. You're going to be the defense lawyer.
Yeah,
here?
I'm going to be the defense lawyer, Your Honor. My client had no idea what was happening. He was in the back trying to practice his orthopedic surgery, which does not involve teeth, by the way, Your Honor. Strictly involves bones. What?
Something I just learned before walking into the courtroom.
Yeah. As I was researching this case on Wikipedia, I'll have you know. Get out, sir. Okay. I want to be the lawyer that uses Wikipedia as a source. Exhibit A, Wikipedia, says that orthopedics is about bones, not teeth.
All right, ready for the next story? I can't transition from that.
Okay, yeah. Let's move on to the next story before I keep digging this hole deeper.
All right, well, this is a very important topic here. All right.
Okay, very important.
Yeah, we're getting serious here.
Okay. So all I got to put on my serious voice.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're going to New Orleans in this story.
New Orleans.
An argument between a 64-year-old man who wanted a Budweiser beer and his friend who handed him a can of Busch beer instead ended when the disgruntled recipient decided to shoot the other man in the arm because he said that his beer was better than the other one. Yeah. We're getting serious here. All about the beer.
It's all about the beer, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's so important that you have to shoot a guy because of it. I'll never understand these leaps of logic. Like, you didn't give me the exact beer I asked for, so I'm going to shoot you now. Good sir.
Good sir.
Good sir.
We're still polite.
They're very, well, you know, Southern hospitality, right?
Well, the incident, which occurred in the suburb of Harvey, which is outside of New Orleans, resulted in Clarence Sturvedent,
wow,
shooting his neighbor Walter Merrick in the arm, with Merrick sustaining wounds that were not life threatening. So that's good.
America.
Yeah, America.
There's no more perfect definition of America than this argument right here.
I just love the fact they're also old men. The one guy is 64, and the other guy's 66. Two old guys. They have nothing better to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot you in the arm. Yeah! Over beer.
They're ornery old people. You know? That's what you get past a certain age and you just start shooting people.
Yeah. What are you going to do? Put me in jail?
Yeah, really. I'm going to die in like 8 years anyway, so you do your worst. You know?
Witnesses told police that the incident, which began with Sturdivant and Merrick arguing over their respective merits of their beer brands, escalated when Merrick pointed a gun at Sturdivant with the Budweiser adherent, then firing a shotgun in self-defense. Wow, wait a minute. This escalated.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a shotgun all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Bang.
Did he just have it lying out, like ready to go?
I guess.
Like, well, I'm going to go drink beer with my buddy. Better grab my shotgun.
Just in case. Well, you know,
so yeah, the next time we grab a couple of drinks, I'm going to have to bring my AK-47. You can bring your,
I'll bring my rocket launcher.
You bring your rocket launcher. Just walk up to the bar. Thump. You put it down. Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to take that outside.
I'm defending my beer's honor.
Yeah. This is America, damn it. I can have a rocket launcher in any public establishment.
Sturdivant was not charged in the incident, but was arrested on an unspecified related charge. Merrick has been cited for aggravated assault for shooting his friend.
Just aggravated assault?
Yeah, that's
makes it.
It
seem like he, you know, had, it was like a minor inconvenience, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I got shot in the arm. It's kind of irritating, but, you know, not that bad.
No, just patch it up.
Just patch it, yeah, put a Band-Aid on it.
Put a Band-Aid on it. Yeah. A shotgun wound, yeah.
Each individual wound, you get a little Band-Aid out.
Yeah! Well, it is over beer, so very important.
I guess. I've never understood this whole, like, oh, my beer is better than your beer. Like, I don't care.
No offense.
Just give me something. You know, I don't care what it is.
And no offense, this is Budweiser and Busch.
Yeah, really. Like, I mean, it's not like it's some, like, this really fancy
like
type
cream of
beer.
The crop here.
Yeah, really. It's not like it's Sam Adams. That's my, I like Sam Adams.
Blue Moon.
Blue Moon. Oh, you're a Blue Moon guy,
yeah.
Huh? Oh, I'm a Sam Adams guy. So I'm going to shoot you, Rich.
Get me my rocket launcher. Where are you? Get me my rocket launcher.
French Rich, get him his rocket launcher.
Let's go. I'll give you me like a rocket launcher. Hoo-hoo.
Wofford Waffle, where's my machine gun? Gosh, Mike. Now I'm doing Goofy. I can't keep
Goofy's
my...
Goofy's here.
Goofy's here. It's a weird sex party with Goofy Wofford Waffle. Well, I don't know about the sex party. I'm Wofford Waffle. I don't know.
That's just weird, man.
Hey, I'm blaming it all on you. I was in the back practicing my orthopedic surgery.
And I was in the back getting my rocket launcher ready to defend my honor for my beer.
Okay.
I don't know where their sex party happened.
Yeah, well, you know, we left those people in the corner too long and
they just started having sex in the corner.
All right. All right.
Oh my god.
Let's leave those guys in the corner.
Yeah.
And let's move on to our next story. This one is just plain dumb. We're going to have to figure out logic here.
Well, I mean, that's like a requirement for odd news, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean...
Is this extra dumb?
Yeah,
I mean... Side of stupidity?
Yeah, because... All right, I can understand... Maybe for the beer dispute, I can... Maybe tensions run really...
Really?
I don't know. there's a very, very thin line of logic. Very thin.
Okay, okay. This, yeah, I mean, if they really got that angry at each other, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
The thing that pisses me off.
See, I get pissed off. I can understand.
The thing that pisses me off.
Yeah. But this is just, I don't understand why this guy did this. A suspected car thief thought that he had a surefire way to avoid getting arrested.
Okay. I can't wait to hear what his surefire way involved.
Police in Madera, California found 23-year-old Jose Esposina after he fled from a stolen car parked near his home. He returned to his house a little while later, but when he returned to his house to hide from the cops, he spray painted his face black.
Okay.
When police showed up at his house, he claimed that he wasn't Jose Esposina and arrested him on sight.
Who did he claim he was? I'm Gerald.
Police say that he spray painted his face black and attempted to hide against a white wall in the home's yard.
So, oh my god.
When the police came and asked him who he was, he said, quote, "My name is Arnold." Why out of all people Arnold?
I don't know.
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
Oh, these cookies!
Put that cookie down, now!
I'm just imagining, like, a guy standing with, like, paint dripping down his face. He's, like, missed parts of it. You know, there's, like, splotches everywhere. It's, like, in his hair. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm Arnold. I'm not Esposito or whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah. I'm also black.
I'm also black. Yeah. Did he just spray paint his face? Like, what about his arms?
No, it's just his face.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to sound like sort of racist here, but black spray paint doesn't really look like, you know, skin tones.
No, it's not. It's you're not going for the color of a shadow, you know? Like.
Maybe that's what he was going for originally. He was spray painting himself black so he could pretend to be a shadow up against the wall. I found the logic, Rich.
Oh, there you go. Wow.
Leave it to me.
Yeah, of course you would.
What's that supposed to mean? I don't know. This is This is a very strange story.
Well, a bottle of spray paint was also found in the backyard and was turned in as evidence against Jose Esposito.
Oh, my God.
Esposito was charged with having stolen property, theft, and an unlawful taking of driving of a vehicle. He is set at $35,000 bail.
What was that? Unlawful driving, taking of driving of a vehicle?
Yeah, unlawful taking and driving of a vehicle.
Isn't that Grand Theft Auto?
Yeah, pretty much. I guess in California they don't call it Grand Theft Auto. I don't know.
The unlawful taking and driving of a vehicle. Okay. Yeah. Whatever.
That's how California gets by. I don't know.
I guess.
They got people spray painting
their
faces.
That's true. They have people spray painting their faces. So.
Just their face, too. Not.
I wonder if he was smart enough to close his eyes.
Ow!
Ow!
This isn't working. I guess I gotta stop here.
Oh, my God. Did he, like, get the back of his neck, or did he just, like, spray, like, a quick blast of his
just
face?
Just the face. That's all it says
in
the report.
Oh, my God.
He only spray painted his face, not his hands, not any other part of the clothing that would be shown.
What a half-assed job.
Yeah,
I mean, God, no concern for the quality of your work, sir. Very disappointing.
Yep. All right, ready for it?
I love that though. Spray painted his face.
Just his face. That's it. That'll fool the cops.
Definitely.
All right, ready for our next story?
Yes.
All right, this one this is quick. I just want to say this. But apparently Winston Churchill apparently likes to steal cheese.
Is that the cheese pervert from Narstown?
It might be the new
Winston
one.
Winston Churchill?
Or it might be the guy stealing cheese in Florida. I don't know.
Wait, but, Winston Churchill is... Oh, you're not talking about the Winston Churchill.
No.
Oh, okay.
But it's fun to just say it.
Yeah. I don't know why for some reason I thought you meant like the actual Winston Churchill. Like they did like a new... They did like a new historical research thing. They're like, oh man, Winston Churchill stole a lot of cheese back in his day.
We need to fight the Nazis and give me all the cheese you have.
You didn't even do a British accent.
That's it. That's what Winston Churchill would say.
I can't do a British accent. Hitler, stop invading countries and give me your cheese.
That's it. That's all he says.
I can't do a British accent. I can't do it. Anyway, keep going.
Anyway, a 49-year-old Scottish man who happens to share the same name as Winston Churchill was found to be stealing cheese. And he apparently has a criminal record that dates back to 1979.
Wow.
And includes over 100 convictions for minor thefts and dishonesty in general.
Dishonesty?
Yeah.
Can they convict you for that?
I guess you lied. I guess if it like affects somebody in court, I guess maybe they can charge
you with
that.
Is that called perjury?
But I don't know. This is Britain, damn it. They play.
I thought you said it was Scotland.
Sorry, no, this is Scotland.
I thought you said where are we?
Scotland, damn it.
I thought you said it was Florida.
I was referencing the cheese story from last week.
Oh, from last week.
God damn it.
I'm so confused.
This is why you're confused.
Are we in 1945 or 2015?
I don't know.
We have to go back to the future.
Yes, all right. We're dealing with the Churchill all of a sudden, all right?
The Libyans
are attacking. Jesus Christ.
The Libyans!
There's never been a more confusing odd news story than right now. Okay, so we're actually in Scotland.
Yes.
With the former British Prime Minister from 1940s.
Right.
Stealing cheese.
Who has a criminal record that dates back to 1979.
Okay. And you can apparently get arrested for dishonesty in Scotland.
Yes, apparently.
Okay.
Churchill admitted pinching the cheese from a store in Sherwood, Nottinghamshire, after he was caught on the shop's closed-circuit television. He was sentenced to a six-month jail term. His own lawyer, Colin Doyle, admitted that, quote, my client has a horrendous record. Wow, that's pretty bad when your defense lawyer just even admits, I give up.
Well, I mean, there's no hiding from it. The guy's been charged... What was it, 100-some times?
Over 100 times.
For lying and stealing? I mean, how can you write that off? You know? He's made a few mistakes in his life.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He's trying to turn over a new life. Yeah, a few hundred mistakes.
Yeah, That happens.
Yeah. That's why they put erasers on pencils. Yes, counselor, but your client used about 100 pencils. That was stupid.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
That was so stupid. I apologize to all of humanity for that one.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
All right, let's move on to another story.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe we get these ones too.
Oh no.
All right, let's do this one.
Okay. I'm worried now.
Yep. Well, it's said that he who smelt it dealt it, but in this case, everyone smelt it, and it was so bad on an airplane.
This is hard-hitting reporting right here.
Yeah.
Breaking news. He who smelt it dealt it, but yes, everyone smelt it.
This just in, major fart story developing. The law dictates that he who smelt it dealt it. But what happens when everyone smelt it? Does it necessarily mean everyone dealt it? Find out tonight on NBC News at 11 o'clock. Here's Wally the Waffle with sports.
Hi, Rich. My name is Wofford Waffle, first off.
Whatever your name is, I don't care. Give me the sports report.
You're the worst news anchor ever.
You just told the sports anchor you don't care what his name is.
Well, anyway.
Wally Waffle. Wofford, Wally, same difference.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, but the point is,
we're just fed up with the damn waffle now.
Trying to finish the story, damn it.
Okay, go ahead.
Anyway,
I forget what we were talking. Oh, that's right, farts.
Yeah.
On an airplane?
Yes.
Okay.
It said that he who smelled it dealt it, but in this case, everyone smelt it, and it was so bad on an airplane that the plane was forced to make an emergency landing.
What was the smell? Was it literally farts, or was it something else?
A British Airways flight that was traveling to Dubai instead had to return to England when, quote, a smelly poo in the toilet made continuing to the final destination unbearable, according to the flight report. Yes, unbearable.
Really? How bad was it? I mean, to reroute a flight? I mean, come on. Just crack a window or something.
You can't crack a window on an airplane.
Sure you can. Just a little problem with depressurization. But you know what? That's a minor inconvenience at best.
The cause was detailed in live tweeting by British politician Abhishek Sachdev.
So a politician was live tweeting this?
Yep.
Wow.
He is a councillor who represents the Potter's Bar Parkfield of England, whatever the hell that means. All right.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I didn't understand what those words are.
Yep, I don't know.
What do you call the Potter's Field?
Potter's Bar Parkfield, whatever that is. I guess that's a designation in England, a part of England. I don't know.
Like a senator, maybe?
Well, anyway, the point is this guy, who's a politician, was live tweeting, including this tweet that said, quote, "This is insane. Our flight to Dubai returned back to England because of a smelly poo in the toilet. 15 hours until next flight. Hashtag British Airways."
Oh. I want to know who was responsible for that.
Yep.
They must feel awful.
The airline declined to give further details on the incident. And
what details are there to give? Somebody took a dump. It smelled real bad. They turned around and went home.
So there you go.
Oh my gosh, that is just insane that they turned back an entire flight just because of a smelly poo. Don't they have like air fresheners? Can't they just get oused and just like spray it a little bit and be done with it?
Poopery or something, you know?
Did you call it poopery?
Yeah, poopery. You never heard
poopery?
No, poopery.
Poopery?
Yeah. You know?
Wait, are you being serious?
Yeah, there's a product called Poopery.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it Poopery with poop?
It's designed to eliminate the poop smell in the bathroom.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
Poopery. What was that?
Exterminate the smell.
Exterminate. Now I could understand it. Oh my god, that's terrifying. Exterminate. Oh man. Yeah, I just don't understand how it could be that odorous that it turns and that it had to turn the plane around. That's crazy.
That must have been really bad.
Yeah, yeah. So it's almost as bad as that lady that farted in that misconnection story.
Yeah.
Too bad they didn't have ciabatta bread.
Right. There's no ciabatta bread on the airplane, man.
I mean, that's basically what it comes down to.
Oh, yeah, what are you going to do when there's no ciabatta bread?
So the moral of the story is swap out the life vests under the seats for ciabatta bread.
You know what? If the plane's going down, you're already screwed anyway. So.
Might as well have a nice sandwich.
One last sandwich.
In the case of an emergency, stick your head between your knees and eat a ciabatta sandwich.
And don't fart.
There'd be less screaming. People can't scream if they're eating, right?
That's the best they can do.
It's not like they were drowning. Well, which, you know, may happen as well.
Yeah. So, there you go. True story. If you ever thought your farts smelled really bad, someone has a really bad one that can stop an airplane mid-flight.
Yeah, imagine that. Oh, yeah? Well, have you ever stopped an airplane with your farts? I have.
Right.
Oh, that is one instance that cannot be one-upped right there.
Yeah.
Less, I don't know. What could one up stopping an airplane with your farts? Derailing a train, maybe.
Causing a level 5 nuclear radiation warning sent by the United States government.
So your fart, registered as a nuclear explosion?
Yeah, Chernobyl.
Chernobyl. We have a Chernobyl level event.
We should have. All right, so here you go.
There's just a massive crater around you.
Here's the level of farts. Level 1, standard. Level 2.
Ciabatta bread.
Level 2 is SPD, silent but deadly.
Okay.
Level 3 is ciabatta bread. Level 4 is airplane needs to be rerouted. And level 5 is Chernobyl.
Chernobyl. That's great.
So there you go. So the five levels.
Oh my god. The more you know.
The more you know. There you go. That's official coming from the United States government. Of farts. Yep. Very important. Boy, aren't you glad we're such an upstanding show talking about farts for the last 10 minutes.
Hey, you know, this is the only place where people can get that type of news. Yeah. So, you know what? Be grateful, guys. We do it all for you.
All right. Let's get to another story.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, maybe you weren't good. You weren't very good at math, right?
Oh, I was really bad at math, but thank you for trying to downplay it.
Well, sometimes you might have asked yourself, when would these math problems, you know, ever save you or be useful one day, right?
Yeah, I was usually asking that. Like, when do you need to chart, like, those curves on the graphs? Never. Tell me once.
Well,
you're just going to ignore that and keep going. Okay.
Well, apparently a mathematically challenged groom in India was dumped by his bride-to-be when she found out that he failed to correctly answer a basic addition problem prior to the wedding ceremony.
Well, basic addition, I mean, come on.
Police in Uttar Pradesh, India, said that they were called to mediate between the bride and the groom's families in Rasulabad after Lovely Singh backed out of plans to wed Ram Baran when she discovered her
attendant's names, Lovely Singh and Ram Baran.
Yeah.
Okay.
When she discovered her attendant husband could not add 15 plus 6.
21.
Yep. Unfortunately, he gave the answer of 17.
What? How does that even work?
That's a good question. I don't know. You're going to have to deep. You're going to have to dig deep for logic on that one. I have no idea.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Yeah, no.
Hmm. I'll think of something.
Mohar Singh, the father of the bride, said that Baran's family failed to disclose his lack of education before the marriage was arranged.
Yeah.
I'd
say so. Can't do simple addition.
The father said, quote, any first grade student must be able to solve a simple math problem asked by us. The family of the groom had kept us in the dark about his qualifications. Wow.
Do you have to fill out a resume now?
Apparently, yeah, to marry this girl, apparently.
In India. She must be quite the catch.
You must.
What was her name? Singh? Lovely Singh?
Lovely Singh.
Well, it's right in the name.
Lovely.
Lovely, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So
now you got to have Ugly Singh.
Ugly Singh?
I don't know.
She doesn't care about your math problems.
it's her twin sister, Ugly Singh. I feel bad now for making that joke.
She accepts any answer to your math problems.
2 + 2 = 8. Sure, why not? Let's go get married.
Yeah, come on.
We'll have the dumbest kids in the world. No big deal.
Police had to mediate between the families, and both sides agreed.
Police?
Yes.
Yes. What are they going to do?
Make sure that a fight didn't break out, I guess. I don't know.
At least this isn't like that other place where they would shoot each other over beer. Or will they shoot each other?
They might. How dare you not get 15 plus 6 correct?
I'm going to shoot you now.
Yes. Police had to mediate between the families, and both sides have agreed to return all wedding gifts that they received for the wedding. So.
That sucks.
I know. Just.
That's a shame. That really sucks, though. All he had to do was do 15 plus 6. Wait, was it like a test she was giving him, or did she just notice, hey, my future husband's going to be stupid?
Yeah.
Did she just notice, I don't know, was he practicing math and she happened to notice it? Like, how did this arise? Do we know?
I guess she asked this of all of her potential husbands.
Yeah. It's one of the questions you have to ask on a first date. Like, real quick, tell me, what's 15 plus 6? 22? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to call this night short. But how do you make it all the way up to marriage without noticing your potential husband's a moron?
It is India. Maybe.
What does that have to...
No, in India they do arranged marriages. You don't see you don't see the person until like the week of the wedding.
No, I think you see them before that a little bit.
No, it's
the week of?
There are some actually.
I know they practice arranged marriage, but I thought they saw them like at least a little bit beforehand.
There are some very conservative Indian households where you don't meet them till the day of the wedding. How would you like that one?
That's true. I guess it does depend how conservative they are.
How would you like that one?
That would be.
You wake up that morning, you have no idea who you're going to marry.
Yeah, yeah. Just like sitting at the table eating some cereal, like, oh, you better get ready. Your wedding is today. What?
What? Nobody told me I have a math test today.
Yeah, that's why he failed math. Still trying to work out how he got 17.
Yeah.
From 15 plus 6.
That's.
Maybe he thought the 6 was a 2.
Maybe he's really
dyslexic.
Well, if you ever have a kid or somebody ask you, what's the point of using math? There you go. It might woo a lady, or it might cause you to lose a marriage.
Yeah. Boy, the stakes just went sky high, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, usually in math class, you're like making change, you know, those stupid little word problems. If Billy has 5 apples and he gives Cindy 2 apples, how many apples does he have left? You know, and then, you know, it goes from that to like, oh, you might lose your wife.
that's the grade you get back on your test. If it's a failing, if you get an F, you will never get married, Billy.
F, you have no hope for the future. Give up now. He's like third graders.
You know, you'll have like a dating profile that you'll get when you're 18, and on it it'll say failed basic arithmetic. Please don't date this person.
Oh man.
Well, anyway, there you go.
Luckily, I passed basic arithmetic.
There you go. All right, good.
Now, when you get to triple digits, oh boy. Oh, that's, yeah, oh boy. Hey, lovely sing, I can do 15 plus 6. 21. What do you say? Let's make this happen.
That's your pickup line.
That's my pickup line, yeah. Hey, look, I can do math. Let's make this happen. I don't know why I did it with that voice.
Yeah, why did you turn into like some frat guy from Jersey?
Hey, yo, I don't know. I can do a basic arithmetic. 15 plus 6. Well, at least it's better than Walford. I'm doing a lot of voices tonight.
Yeah, you're on
call. It's called sleep deprivation, boys and girls.
All right, I got one. I got one more story for you.
All right, let's do it.
And you know what? We got to end it right. So let's end it with our obligatory Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep, we always got to have a Florida story. It's just not an odd news story without an odd news segment without Florida.
It's so true. So what do we got this week in the wonderful land of Florida?
Well, unfortunately, a church lost its tax-exempt status. I know, this is such such horrible news for a church. But apparently, authorities in Florida said that the reason why this church lost its tax-exempt status was because a secret undercover agent found that it was hosting, quote, nude paint events and slumber parties with sexy ladies.
Wait, why should that be a reason to lose their tax-exempt status?
Sheriff Dan Sowell said that in Panama City, a church called the Life Center, quote, a spiritual community. I guess that's the entire name of the church. Life Center, a spiritual community.
They need a better name.
Yeah, that's too long of a name.
Life Center. What was it? Life Center?
Life Center. A spiritual community. That's okay. The whole title of the church.
Okay.
It lost its tax-exempt status after authorities discovered it was hosting, quote, late-night spring break parties, one that was even called, quote, Amnesia the Tabernacle.
What? Take this Eucharist. It'll help you forget everything.
take this Eucharist.
Amnesia? What are they doing?
Take this amnesia. Take this amnesia.
It's not a roofie.
Take this Eucharist.
It's the Eucharist. And feel the power of God enter you.
Oh, baby, you're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
I didn't know we had a live recording, Rich. You said that you'd only been to a couple of sex parties. I didn't know you were frequenting ones in Florida, too.
Yeah, you know, I gotta see what they're up to.
The amnesia party?
Yeah.
Oh, baby, you're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
The undercover report said that events hosted at the church included, quote,
You all right?
Yeah, sorry. The events hosted at the facility included, quote, an anything but clothes policy went.
Anything but clothes?
Yeah.
So you have to be naked, but anything else goes?
Right.
Anything but clothes.
Anything but clothes policy. A body painting party.
Oh,
and
that sounds like fun.
A naked slumber party.
Yeah, slumber party.
Billed as, quote, a lingerie party hosted by the sexiest ladies of the religious beach.
Where was this church at? I think I'm suddenly becoming religious again.
Yep, exactly.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day!
Let me tell you, if you want to boost church attendance, just saying. They have a perfect model right there. Where was this church again?
Panama City, Florida.
Panama City, Florida.
And it's called, the church was called Life Center, a Spiritual Community. That's the whole title of the place.
Okay.
The sheriff, Frank McKeithen, told local newspapers that treating the facility as a church is, quote, a blatant slap in the face to taxpayers, authorities, and clergymen.
But that's their religion.
Yeah, this is my religion, all right? If I want to be around sexy ladies, I think that's
it's
blessed by God. And
it's called sexyism.
Yes, and frankly, it's a miracle. Why are you questioning my miracle?
It's a miracle!
You just wanted to use that clip.
Yes. All right?
You speaking of miracles, I want to know what type of miracles their gods can work.
Yeah, right? Getting sexy ladies off of the beach? Why not?
They're like genies. They just snap their fingers and they appear.
It's a miracle!
Part of the underwater.
Was this a Christian religion or was it underwater? What are you doing?
I'm already just losing this story. I'm already there. My mind is already at this church. I'm not even here at the podcast right now. I'm ready to go down and check this church out.
Yeah, I'm about to book a flight on one of those fart powered jet engines.
I meant to
get
say,
down to underwater sex city in Panama, Florida or whatever.
I meant to say the undercover report said that one of the parties featured, quote, a bottle club charging $20 at the door and selling obscene T-shirts.
Okay.
So
is that it?
That was, in that quote, yes.
Oh, the nude slumber party sounded much better.
What
they did?
Are you questioning the church now?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, church. I don't want to offend you. I don't want to lose my membership to what sex land or whatever.
The church is the life center, that's a spiritual
right.
community.
I'm calling it sex land. I don't care. I mean, let's be honest. That's basically a cover for, like, I don't know, probably a brothel.
It's not a brothel. It's
definitely a brothel.
It's
a religious brothel.
It's a miracle, all right?
Amen.
It's my miracle, all right?
It's a miracle!
Oh, boy.
So, there you go. Unfortunately, though, this church lost its tax-exempt status, so...
How are they going to throw their wild orgies now?
I know, it's so sad. What are they going to do?
Oh, God.
How are they going to survive? How are they going to do God's work now?
I don't know. I don't know.
This is so sad.
We used to have an orgy every Sunday, one at 7, 9, and 11 a.m. And now we're down to one orgy a week.
Why are they all in the morning?
That's when churches. I guess you have the Saturday evening services, too.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. Church is in the morning, isn't it?
Church? Well,
what church have you ever gone to that has mass at 2:30 p.m.?
This one.
This one? Right. Okay.
At this church, you can have church at any time you want. Yeah. All right? Don't you question that.
Stay holy and pray around the clock.
Yes. I am being devout.
Yes.
All right. All right. I need to have my privacy in the bottle club room, alright?
The bottle club room, yeah.
So there you go.
We're gonna do Stations of the Cross. Each one's in a different position. Bye! I'm going to hell. See you later.
And there you go. That's what we have for you in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
Oh, my God. Oh, my sexy lady. What god do they pray to? The god of bikinis and other things?
You just got to go to the church and explain.
I need to go to a real church and confess my sins is what I need to do. Oh, boy.
All right. Well, before you do that, let's...
Yeah, I'm having too much fun with this first.
Before you do that... Let's get to our recap portion of the show. We call it, What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned?
Hallelujah, I'm religious again. After learning about sex land in Panama City, Florida, or the Life Center, whatever it was called.
It was called... Life Center, a spiritual community.
Yeah. Very spiritual.
Yes.
Yes.
Very devout.
Yes. Oh, boy. But, yeah, I mean, that's just amazing. As I said, I'm going to jump on one of those fart-powered airplanes and go down to this Life Center in Panama City Speaking of fart-powered jet planes, Rich, you told us about the levels of fartness.
Yep, there are very specific levels.
Yes, they are. Well, I have them down here. Do you want me to repeat
them?
Yes,
go ahead.
You said that level one is a normal fart. Level two is the silent but deadly fart. Level three is a ciabatta bread waving fart. Level four is an airplane rerouting stench. And finally, level five is a Chernobyl-level nuclear holocaust.
There you go. Official from the Pentagon.
Official from the Pentagon. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's like the threat level warning, you know?
It's DEFCON.
Oh, yeah. We're at FartCon 1.
Yes. There you go. FartCon.
FartCon 1. Speaking of horrible gas, they should equip airplanes with ciabatta bread instead of life preservers.
At least air freshener, something.
Something. You figure they would have something to combat foul stenches, right?
Yeah.
I guess not. What was this, British Airways?
Yeah.
Don't fly British Airways, people.
Right.
Oh, boy. I also learned that this episode I was very confused throughout the odd news, and I made some horrible jokes, both unfunny ones and possibly offensive ones. But that's all right.
Whoops.
Whoops. Oh, well. And finally, we learned that Wofford Waffle is our new mascot. Right, Rich?
Woo! Yeah, all right, Waffle.
Yay, I'm back on the show.
There you go. Now go win us a spot in the Sweet 16.
Okay, will do.
There you go. That is what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo! There you go.
Oh, boy. What a show.
Yep, Mike, you can go to church now.
Yeah.
Folks, that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're a little sleep deprived.
Just a little bit. I don't know, that last sexy story kind of...
That woke you up?
That woke me up.
All right over there?
That Wofford Waffle, man, I mean, well...
Should I leave the room? Leave you two alone?
No, we got to finish the show.
All right. Well, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want more of our craziness, our wackiness, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. We have the whole catalog of the podcast's episodes. We've got the mini noodles up there. We've got so many things that you can enjoy, make you laugh, keep you entertained until our next show.
What? You just kept going and going.
Yes, I'm going, all right? I don't know what you and the waffle's doing in the corner.
Hey, you leave me and the waffle alone, damn it.
All right. Now, if you want to follow us on Facebook, make sure to like us on the Facebook. Look for us at the Crispy Noodle. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Crispy Noodle. All right? That's how you get into contact with us on Twitter. We also have individual Twitter accounts. I'm Matt Richleybig. I don't know what Mike's doing over there.
I'm going to pass out. You're skipping a whole segment to the closing. I'm at Mikey Costanzo.
Yes, all right. I don't know what you and the waffle's doing. All right.
Okay. Well, me and the waffle are subscribing to our YouTube channel where you can find lots of fun videos and best bits. But most importantly, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. We get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, or your tablet. You can listen to us on the go, at home, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. You know what? I think it's just going to do it. I think we're both sleep deprived from St. Paddy's Day. I think we're going to need to recover. So that'll do it for
all
us.
All right.
I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week. We'll be at full rest and full momentum for the show.
Hopefully.
Yep. See you guys.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here! Pa-pow! Something!